Say What Podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard.
You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios.
Speak and be heard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and a wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468.
Hey, it's Janessa.
And I'm Katie.
And this is
Say What?
All right, guys,
we're back.
And we have a special guest, Mr. Shelby Padgett.
Woohoo.
Shelby, I've known Shelby for a while now, right?
Yeah, it's been probably over a few years now.
I think.
Is your first name Shelby?
Yep, just like the car.
I freaking love that. So my daughter's name is Shelby.
Listen,
she was named after my husband's very good friend through college baseball.
Awesome.
So his name was Scott Shelby.
Is it with a Y?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I usually, I traveled outside sales in my previous career. And someone would always say, oh, yeah, my daughter's name is Shelby or my dog's name is Shelby.
Great.
Cool.
Great.
Okay, there's no Shelbys around here, though. And there were no Shelbys that we knew in Washington. I always thought that, like, there'd be a ton of Shelbys. But it's a Southern name. And it's
I like it.
It's a male name originally.
Yeah, I think we had this conversation about your Shelby's name.
And you got Carol Shelby, you know, icon for cars, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, not bad.
It's just a good name.
I'll take it. I'm the only Shelby Padgett on Facebook, so that helps.
There you
go. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Okay, so
it's like my Gmail's not taken, LLCs aren't taken.
Yeah,
like, that's awesome.
Use my name.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
That's so crazy. So this just brought up something. So I met Shelby through we had mutual friends Jason and Michelle Abbott.
Man, I even forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Are they from here or California?
California. They're here now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But Jason knew Shelby through racing, right? Dirt bike racing?
So I grew up riding dirt bikes and off-road stuff, but I ended up by happenstance getting involved with testing for a publication and then what became one of the largest motocross websites in the world, which is really cool, VitalMX, and got to do testing every year with them. So Jason wrenched and helped with the press releases on Honda's motocross line, and I was one of the 5-6 test riders every year that would come out. So
very cool.
Yeah.
That's such a small one. So they're here now.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about, like, the name. You're talking about you're the only Shelby Padgett. So I was on the phone with Michelle the other day, and she went to go pick up a part for Jason, and apparently there are two Jason Abbotts out here.
One's
in Boise and one, they live in Star.
I'm
like, that's random. I mean, I guess it's not, Jason is not an uncommon name, nor is Abbott, but to have Jason Abbott in really close vicinity.
We're in a pretty small community still, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I wish they would just close the doors. Although I know
Shelby's
you're
like, no, sorry.
Yeah,
no.
I know.
Don't. I'm like propping that thing open. Apologies.
Can you just be like selective with the ones that you bring in?
Everyone says that. I've got some, we can get into this now or later.
Yeah, whenever.
Shelby's a real estate agent.
Yeah.
Shelby does a lot of things. I ask him questions about everything. He knows every single person. He knows someone for anything that you need.
Let me know.
Yeah, it's just been kind of by happenstance, right? The way life works. But I have two theories. So with the influx of people here, right? I do a lot of advertising and stuff, right? And proclaim I'm originally from California. my mom was born in Boise, so I got some like roots. I have aunts and uncles that literally homesteaded out in like Parma and Homedale.
I need to meet these people.
Well some of them have passed since then, but the family line is still there. So
he did say some of them have passed.
Okay, because yeah. I'm like, did I just say that inappropriately?
You God, looked at me Katie. Like,
but I did get to know them when I was growing up. We used to come out here, right? And yeah. like they'd show me this like 10 by 10 where they're, you know, in the late 1800s at their great-great-grandpa farmstead that's or awesome. Homestead and farm. But that's, you know, neither here nor there. But the idea with people coming here, right, there's so much opportunity that comes along with that. And I always point out, I had a couple DM me the other day, and they're like, oh, everything you're doing, like, stop advertising. There's a reason we can't afford a house. We're locals, this and that, right? So I reached back, and I said, hey, I'd love to chat with you and give you a consultation. Maybe there's some areas of your income or some variables that you could adjust or maybe aim towards to help get you guys in a good position, because there's lots of programs, and a lot of people just aren't aware of them. And literally just said, no, we just wanted to let you know what we thought. And I'm like, that's the mentality that you right. get met with the pushback for the most part, are the people that literally don't want to take action to improve their situation.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a side note to that. Okay. If you are a local and you're not looking to improve your situation, you're just wanting things to be like they were before in terms of, you know, downtown and the amount of people finding parking, for God's yeah. sakes. I mean, there yeah. is another side to that, that, you know, you do respect that people that don't want it to boom the way it's been booming, it's hard. Or if you have retired here,
yeah.
things change with taxes and all of that, and for you're on sure. a set income. So there is totally that side of it that I respect it and I see it. It's hard. It can definitely be hard.
Yeah. So I'll play devil's advocate here, okay? So suggesting that that's the preservation of what we have as a community and the growth and the presets that we operate off of in the Valley, right, mm-hmm. are primarily driven through legislation, right? So if you're telling me that 22,000 people from California over the last few years have come here and radically changed the local landscape, legislation, and everything, over, you know, the existing 2 million people in Idaho and 200 plus thousand in Boise, that means that either those people care more about where they live and are getting involved to affect and influence legislation more than the locals do, or the people that are existing just aren't participating enough to actually make an impact to change the direction of legislation, law, and policy.
I feel like it's the latter of what you just said.
Yeah.
People just are not getting involved.
And so we can't adjust that, right? So yeah. they're left with a couple options. And yeah. to be honest, I was in that boat in San Jose. I'm here because mm-hmm. of what's happening in Boise is what forced me eventually out of San Jose.
Yep. Yeah.
I loved where I grew up, but it's not that anymore. So yeah. instead of complaining and going and commenting on every agent's stuff there that's bringing people in from Asia.
That's so weird that people are doing that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get some a lot? Every day.
So weird.
But I'll interact, yeah. and if they want to engage, then yeah. I'd be more than happy to help them.
But I feel like you have always provided solutions, even like with issues. So we used Shelby before we even moved here. We found a rental property. With Shelby knows I ask like 10 trillion questions. I have to like get a feel. We would pull yeah. up, and I'd be like, nope, Shelby, just keep driving. He's like, well, we haven't even gone in. I'm like, nope. And Alan's like, sorry, dude, sorry. So, but he, like, I have seen him evolve even as a realtor and his own properties and just his whole life just transition. But he's always provided a solution for any kind of a challenge. Not like, well, you know, here it is. And I'll give you an example. Like, we had our first rental property. We wanted to sell it. And then we listed it, got into contract. And then I was like, I don't want to do this. I feel like we're making the wrong move. Mm-hmm. Well, we couldn't change it. So Shelby was like, look, I have some solutions. Here are some options. He came over. Like, I was pissed.
We had some wine.
Yeah, we had some wine. We went through several different options, things that we would have never even thought about. And any other realtor would have been just like, hey, you know, but sorry, we have to go through with it.
Yeah.
But Shelby was like, here are boom, boom, boom. I think there were like five different avenues we could have taken.
I like a solution guy.
Yeah. So there's all, like, in his defense, he is always, if someone has an issue, okay, let's talk through it. Let's find a solution.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that's my approach. I mean, if people want to take that approach and maybe be bitter or complain, I think there's always opportunity for them to explore where that's coming from and what they're not doing to really enhance or change their situation.
Yeah, and you coming from California too, I feel the same way. We were like political refugees or whatever you want to call it. I feel unbalanced with, sometimes I feel like I don't mind more people coming in, and the influence of like good coffee shops and good restaurants and those kinds of things. I like that coming in here.
Yeah.
But then I don't want people to bring the same mindset, you know, that really drove California into the ground.
And we've totally talked about that too. Bring the food, bring the culture.
Yeah.
Just don't bring what ruined where you came from.
Yeah.
And I think people need to understand too, when they're coming here, like, the infrastructure is not what you want it to be. Things aren't going to move as fast as you want it to be.
So bad.
Schools. And
yeah. And I'm okay with it. I honestly am okay with it. We moved here knowing, and we moved here wanting to slow down, but I see people, their frustration, their anger, they're constantly complaining about it. But didn't you look into this before you moved?
Yeah.
That's just my only.
Yes. And it's those are growing pains of a growing community.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I feel you too. Like, when I moved here, there wasn't as much traffic. There weren't as many Range Rovers per capita.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
The scene has changed.
Yeah.
And you get some of that uppity vibes and parts of Eagle and stuff that just weren't there 5 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Right? In our neighborhood specifically too.
Somebody, yes. Was it you?
I get some stories, believe me. I've got enough ears and eyes and ears of different people that all live in there. And, hey, can you? And I'm like, those are my other clients.
Oh, my God. I know. Yeah. I just.
Didn't I hear that somebody called our neighborhood like the Beverly Hills of something?
No, it was like the Cota de Casa.
Oh, yeah. That's where my brother got married.
Oh, in Cota de Casa?
Yeah.
And so is he here now?
Yeah. They've been here since March.
Oh, my gosh.
They bought a house. Paid over probably a lot more than they should have. But market is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, and it's still a good investment because it's still going to keep going because people are still coming here. How many people would you say, like, every month are filtering in here?
From, like, a total perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, like, between 1,000 and 1,500, I would suggest. You can check the county records and stuff for that stuff, but that would be my estimate. I haven't checked for a while, but that'd probably be about right.
Oh, you posted something because I was talking to my mom about it. I think I took a screenshot of like where
stats.
People, like
isn't that cool? Where they're transplanting to.
Yeah. So, where is it? To Meridian is like the highest, right? 52%.
Mm-hmm. Where is there room for people to move into Meridian? Well, they can't be that many new houses unless it's the South Meridian, right?
Yeah, like the Brighton developments south of Lake Hazel.
Yeah.
They're putting in between, I don't know, another 30,000 homes. And then Locale, CBH, off of Lake Hazel near Coal Road.
Yeah,
that's a planned community that's supposed to incorporate like the vibe of the village with a mix of walking paths with a community of like condos, single family, nice homes, which is interesting. CBH's first completely planned community.
Wow.
Gotcha. CBH is the largest builder in almost Pacific Northwest.
Really?
Don't they still
I didn't know
all
that.
The issues though?
No. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You're paying for what it is. They're a great price for the product.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want a Mercedes, you got to pay for a Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. So when we first moved here, they were having all the issues with like, it was after Snowmageddon.
Yeah.
And it was all the issues with like the roofs leaking and all that other stuff that was happening. And there was a lot of issues with CBH. So I know that we stayed away from that. I mean, we were looking at all options, but I had like a major like no-go zone because of all the issues that they had.
Yeah, and I think too, probably part of that problem, and I don't know, this is just a guess, but like the growth is happening so fast that I don't feel like they can keep up. And I mean, like, I feel like that with all the builders.
That's all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear constantly about all the lawsuits against each of the builders.
Yeah.
It's truly like they're slapping these houses together.
Yeah.
And like even when we've been in our house for over 2 years, and ours was a semi-custom, and I was so pissed off because they were messing up everything, and yeah. I was there 3 times a day. I'm very particular about things, and that's just what I do for a living too.
She does interior design. Yeah, she's amazing. Saying. Yeah,
so, that would make it that much harder someone else build a home, especially when. When and if you have an expectation that is similar from a California mindset,
yeah,
it's not met here.
Yeah,
unfortunately, no. Regardless if you're at 2 million price point,
it's
just a different community.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was just ridiculous. And at the very end, I remember talking with like our job site manager or whatever it is that they call them, and I was going over how many things were truly wrong, like. Really, really wrong. Like you weren't even looking at my plans wrong, yeah. Right? Like the whole front of the house or
it's not supposed to be a window there.
Right.
You know,
how'd you miss that?
Big yeah. things. And I said, how many houses are you personally responsible for?
Yeah.
And at that time, over 2 years ago, that he said 19. And I said, then how the hell are you gonna make sure that my house with all the changes that I made are gonna be right? And he goes, I just do the best I can. I go, well, it's not working because you haven't caught one thing. I've caught every single one. And there was a laundry list.
You're telling
list.
Me not to be on site.
Yeah. Yeah, you're telling
that.
Me.
It's hard. And we fight that all the time. Like, I have clients that are, like, sending me photos. And I have the builder saying, look, we can go ahead and we own the property. They're not, they cannot legally be on site. We can have legal issues with this.
Bullshit.
So it puts
bullshit.
You in such a weird position because you have to represent the best interest of the client legally.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you have to honor the legal prowess of what's going on with the property, too.
Yeah.
We would sneak in so like during the day and unlock certain doors or just undo some of the windows just a little bit. Every night I broke into my own goddamn house. Yeah. I didn't care. I'm like, I'm paying a pretty penny for this.
Exactly.
I'm going to get into that house. Damn it. You're not keeping me out.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Because a lot of the times, and okay, you need to answer this for me. Truthfully, what you think?
Uh-oh.
Okay, I know. He's starting to understand who I am.
Yes,
I mean,
good.
He's listened to a couple podcasts. I'm sure he gets it.
Okay, so.
Yeah, where's the wine?
I know. He should have brought wine.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. Next time. Okay, do you feel like, because I definitely feel like this is true now at this point in time. I feel like it started to creep up like this. Now I feel like they're truly doing this on purpose. Do you feel like, especially people that are doing these builds from afar, like California or wherever, that some of these builders are messing up some big ticket items that people are like particular about on purpose so that they can back out of the contract so that they can sell the house for more? Because I don't know how many times I have heard that people come in and they check things out and they're basically through the walkthrough and they're like, this is not it. This is how it's supposed to be. This is not what we talked about. And the response from the builder is, well, if you don't like it, it is what it is. Somebody else will pay more. You can back out of the contract.
Yeah.
And you leave people going, well, what the fuck? That's not what I wanted. And you give them this doubt. I think they want them to back out so they can sell it for more.
And so I can't speak to the intent of the builder themselves, but I've been in many scenarios. Almost every contract that's been solidified in the last probably 18 months, especially as the surge has happened, the material shortages happened, and the increases have happened, where, it's take it or leave it as it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I've always advised people, like people that fly into town, they'll go to a community, they'll build a house with the builder. You need to have third party representation. You need to have somebody that knows what the hell they're doing.
For sure. Yeah.
And the reason being is because when that scenario comes up, you need to have someone that understands their legal liability from the builder perspective and the buyer perspective. And you need to have somebody that can diligently leverage emotional expectation with a builder and their organization to get the outcome that the buyer needs.
Yeah.
So if a builder says it is what it is, that's not the end of the conversation.
Right.
That's the beginning of what kind of person are you? How are you expressing you're going to lead in contracts and in business in the future with clients? And what do you want me to take away from this for the future in terms of how I speak about you and your organization, right?
Yeah.
And if they want to go ahead and dictate a certain demeanor or act in a certain manner, then, you know, I think that in a market like what we've seen, not so much the last 90 days, we're changing, we're cooling off substantially.
Yeah, I can tell.
But in previous like that. To that, they can do what they want for the time being, but things will not come around when we start going into a transition. So
right.
People will be more held accountable as we start to see that transition. Mm-hmm, but yeah, agency and having representation outside of the builder is tremendously important because of that specific reason.
Yeah.
And there's some things that agents, you know, there's certain things that we run into oftentimes where things and expectations weren't specifically set at the front end, is common. There's, you know, thousands of components to building a custom home.
Oh, yeah.
You're never going to hit 90% of them. It's near impossible.
I feel like it's like 70 or 80. Because I feel like even though I was so involved in the process of my home, that still at the end of the day, even though I was trying to hold them to the fire the whole time, I'm 80% happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, when I say you get a 40-inch fireplace in your property, you see a fireplace in your mind. I see one in my mind as a builder. You check a box that doesn't show either of those depictions. We build the house, and then neither of you have expectations set or met.
Yeah.
So it's all about expectations.
Yeah.
I tell that with clients when I do a design consult that I, with the way that I operate, I do, you know, mood boards because I'm very, very visual. And so I tell people, if you say that you love the color purple, a different color purple, a shade of purple is going to be in your head than mine. Yours is going to be nice and deep purple, and I'm going to have like a soft violet.
Yeah.
So we're just going to make sure that we are both on the same page, and I'm going to show you exactly what I'm talking about.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's a good analogy.
Well, the same thing like my mom's house that she's building.
Yeah.
You know, I like the builder. So, but we had a totally different like
experience.
The fireplace in her room was off-centered. So it was off-centered if where you would put the bed, not off-centered just on the wall.
Not okay.
So it just, that those little quirks, and then we were talking about the driveway, and the driveway was, I can't remember, we said circular driveway, we drew it out.
Yeah.
They literally drew a circle,
and
her real estate agent was like, this is all of us were thinking, like, what
circle?
The hell? Yeah. A perfect circle.
Stop it right now.
Oval,
and we had drawn it out. So we were like, what
the fuck
happened here? We drew it out on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
But that's like, their vision is totally different than your vision. Yeah.
And I think that's like a big indicator of the most successful people in any capacity are the people with the best ability to communicate and set and meet expectations.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah.
The general individual, I think, is a poor communicator, unfortunately, in our society helps embellish that.
Well, and then you have expectations on how things are supposed to be run in a professional manner that is not always met.
Yes.
So, and I do feel like coming from Washington, oh my gosh. The way that subcontractors and contractors and builders, how they operated, completely different than here. They're so like blasé about things here. They just kind of...
It's like I'm going hunting for two... Like when I bought a house here the first time, my agent was gone for 3 weeks during escrow. And was like, hey... I'm gonna be in the mountains, in the Sawtooths for 3 weeks. So I'll be back on this date. And I'm like, cool.
You're like,
so
like have fun. I don't know where this goes. This is my first time I bought a house. Thanks, man.
So if I have questions, do I just like
so you're
wait
trying
for your response?
Just
so funny.
That's
so crazy. That is so Idaho.
Yeah,
it is.
So
and that's
Idaho.
Why that's part of why we like it.
Yeah.
But yet at the same time, it's part of the frustration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're 100%. Used to being met with a certain expectation with things and it's not taken. Here's what I think it is. People don't have to work as hard here as they do elsewhere because you don't need to make as much of an income here, really, to live the way that you were living elsewhere.
Yeah.
So With that being said, I feel like the stress that we all had when we lived elsewhere of, you know, making sure everything was done perfectly and on time and deadlines are met and all of this because our jobs were so intense.
There's no RV bay in the garage.
Right. Yeah, there's no RV bay in the garage. Or your RV bay
doesn't fit your fucking trailer.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
God.
I feel like when you come here, because people don't need to work as much, they're more like they're more choosy with how they spend their time, which I think is what you want. I want to be able to be very particular about how I spend my time mm-hmm, and yep. if I want to put up with somebody or not, or do I want to take this project on because I don't actually have to take that project on. And I feel like that mentality, unfortunately, when you're trying to build a house, is so difficult because it's like, yeah, that's not a big deal. But when you're the one building the house, every little detail is a big deal.
Yeah.
So there's good thing and bad things about, you know, living here.
I think the funniest thing, not the funniest, I mean, it doesn't become funny, but the thing I try to deter clients from probably the most in any first initial sit down with a builder is they always say, hey, we're not in a rush, so take your time on the build. And I'm always like, do not say this.
Oh, my God.
Especially ever. Idaho.
Yeah. I mean, I've
they're
gotta,
like, oh, really? So 2024 is good for you?
Yeah, just put us on the back burner of the schedule. And because they assume that once ground breaks, it's X, Y, Z, but it's not.
Nope.
No.
And it's. And I'm like, you guys don't say that. You're going to shoot yourself in the foot. But we're not in a rush. I'm like, I don't care. We're going to be past your due date, especially in this market right now. So.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what part of Washington were you
from? Sammamish.
Okay. I was born in Puyallup.
Oh.
Yeah, if you know where that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I was raised in Sammamish before it had a name. It was just unincorporated King County. So. Nice. And it's funny when people will read Puyallup, like Puyallup.
I know. Pool? I still have to look it up when I type it in. It's like by Tacoma.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, my mom went to Puyallup High School, actually.
Travis
is from DJ Washington.
Or wait, is there a Peninsula High School?
Yes. I think
it might have been that one, actually. I might be wrong. She was from Gig Harbor. It's the same area.
Oh, yeah. So, well, it's so funny with all the names and stuff in Washington. Like, you know you're from Washington if you can read some of the names of the towns and you can say it properly. So, like, Issaquah, right? Sammamish. If you try to say those things, like, on Siri, it's like Sammamish or Issaquah. Or,
I try to pretend I do, but I was only there as, like, a toddler, so.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I try to, you know, common ground, right?
Yeah.
So we've got three OGs from Washington, and I'm the only true, like, born and raised Californian.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Were you?
Well,
where
I was
born
in California.
Raised?
I was born. Oh, okay. I was born in San Dimas, California. Oh, okay. So that's the city away from where I grew up.
San Dimas?
Left.
And you guys left Laverne, right?
Yeah.
Cool. That's where my sister-in-law's from.
Yeah, that's it. So Alan, get this.
Crazy.
Alan, my husband, was Shelby's brother's wife's substitute teacher.
How random.
Yeah.
You guys, it's 6 degrees of
it's
separation.
It's crazy.
It is, though.
Yeah.
He said he just saw him the other day.
Yeah, down at the tailgate.
Yeah.
I told Alan, I was like, you should have gone and, like, picked up Tyler and ran away with him. He's like, dude, so many people are saying hi, like, and my brother's like, they all said the worst thing. Oh, you're Shelby's brother, right?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, well, you know.
You know.
So that always happened to Alan's sister growing up. So he was 2 years younger in school. His sister was my grade, but they would always be like, oh, you're Alan's sister. She's like, are you kidding me? I'm the older one. How is this happening? My name is Kristen.
Yeah.
I'm not Alan's sister. Yeah, that's funny. Well, you know, that happens. That's life. Such is life. Okay, so how did you get started in real estate?
Well, I'll keep it relatively short, I guess. I always say long story short, but it's never short. Right?
Yeah, that's okay. We have time, so you're good.
Graduated college at Sonoma State in 2009, right in amidst of a recession, which I had no context of. I had no idea what was going on.
Right.
I was like, yeah, I'll just go get a job. So I went and got a job. So I actually ended up being one of three in my graduating class to have a job secured prior to graduation, which unbeknownst to myself was a pretty cool feat.
So what'd you go to school for?
Business management marketing.
All right.
Which totally fits.
Yeah, watched YouTube and like I just remember my teacher calling out that Kia was going to be the next luxury brand, and I was like, no way, dude.
That what?
Kia was going to segue into a luxury brand. Kia and Hyundai.
Yeah.
At the time when they were like rinky dink, horrible.
Yeah.
But he called it. They've done pretty well.
They have.
They got the Telluride.
Yeah, I love the Telluride.
Right?
Yeah.
You're comparing those to the Ranges and the Volvos now. But yeah, so graduated, worked for a voiceover IP company in Sunnyvale that just went IPO about a month before I signed, which I had no understanding what that meant or what that meant. Started in sales and cold calling, qualifying leads, and worked my way through tech. I worked for like four startup tech companies over about 10 years. Went IPO with two of them, and that was really fun. Not as rewarding as I wanted it to be.
I don't know what IPO means.
When you go public on the stock exchange, like,
okay, then
Facebook
just say
went
that,
public.
Damn it. I'm sitting Katie's here like, damn it. Okay, now I have to ask. And then I'm going to end up saying IPO to somebody and
like,
feel like
know?
I'm really smart.
Katie's going to be like, I don't
know
something
don't
about
know what
the public.
God, that's so weird.
Initial public offering. So like,
gotcha.
Whatever that means, right? You wake up at 5 a.m., you have champagne, and you know, cheers when they ring the bell.
Which Dutch Bros just...
Yeah,
I just heard about that. Eric was so pissed because I guess the guys were talking about it. He's like, babe, we should have put
Alan.
So much
Alan didn't
out.
Tell me till after. So I used to trade stocks and stuff like that at one of my million jobs. So he told me afterwards, and I was like, I had no clue. Why didn't you say something? He's like, well, I don't know how to do it. I'm like, oh my God.
Download Robinhood.
God. Okay, I thought Robinhood, and Kim told me to put like money on Doge.
Yeah. The Dogecoin.
Crypto. I put like $100 on it, and now that I think it's down to like $29.
Just hold it. Yeah. It'll be all right.
Yeah. But that's it. That's all I've got. And then, you know, my husband's like, you know, 401k and whatever it is that they invest in.
Yeah, we got to talk about rentals when we get to that point, though. But just keep going. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, so I went in sales, evolved from like the guy that just cold calls people to like actually doing territory development and working in like emerging technology fields and stuff. So I'd get to fly out and represent mostly the Southeast for most of my career. So all, you know, Tennessee and like Oklahoma, Kentucky, Alabama, all those fun states.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that and then ended up moving out here. Bought a house up in the foothills, actually up in Rolling Hills, behind Hidden Springs, the two streets up there on the hill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I owned one of those houses up there, which was really cool. And then figured, hey, I'll buy a house here because in San Jose, I was like $1 million for a house I don't even want.
Yeah.
So might as well buy something out of state since I travel for work anyways. And if it works out, I'll stay. If it doesn't, I'll either rent it or sell it, make probably profit. Ended up staying, and after buying two properties here, ended up transitioning so that I didn't have to travel. Traveling gets really old really quickly for work. Another suit and tie meeting with people that you don't know and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So end up getting to do sales, which I love working with people. I don't care. You call it sales. People have like a crass thing with sales, but I think sales is like interacting with people and communicating, and if it's your choice if you express or provide value or not. That's where, you know, that line dissolves.
But you're a good communicator, which I, being in sales, feel like that is a huge thing for someone to be successful. You have to be able to, you have to deal with the good and the
honest.
Bad. Exactly.
I mean, if things aren't going well, we lead in integrity and character. That's what I tell me and the people that work with us 100% first and foremost. But yeah, end up saying, hey, well, I can sell, work with people, work in a product area industry I like. I liked houses. I like the properties that I've purchased and was like, this is super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I can stay local. I don't have to travel anymore. So, and I know how to develop pipeline, know how to close deals. I know how to do lead gen, which most agents don't know how to do. Anything they know about the houses, I can learn about a product.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, got my license in May of 2017 and took 6 months off between corporate America and real estate. I went to Costa Rica, did a mountain bike film event.
Everybody goes to Costa Rica.
I got a call,
and
my buddy's like, hey, we're filming for this company. Like, I grew up riding like mountain bikes and stuff in Santa Cruz. And he's like, you want to come? I was like, yeah. Booked my ticket and flew out like a week and a half later or something. So that was actually really cool. And then met my wife a few years ago now, 3 years ago. And we got a little baby now.
And his business is Bennett
thriving.
Is his name?
Bennett, yeah. Baby Bennett. He's
so
a smiley
cute.
Boy.
How old is he now?
5 months.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. That's like, is he like starting to kind of sit stage. Up at
oh,
all?
Oh, yeah. He's starting to get there. He's precious. He's just our little baby, so he's cute. But
aww, he is a cutie.
I just want to squeeze him.
So yeah, that's kind of how it started. And then we got into investing, you know, growing a small portfolio of like real estate and multifamily units, and then helping other people. And I got into e-commerce, and I'm like an e-commerce Walmart drop shipping store. And do a lot of social media stuff that, you know, eventually I'd love to transition into it, make some money, a little bit of money right now, but nothing crazy. And,
Do you have your, like, a YouTube channel? And
yeah.
Yeah, just look up Shelby Padgett
on Google.
Yeah.
Just Google my name, since nobody else really uses that.
Oh, yeah, that's so easy.
And you'll see on my platform, so.
Yeah. Cool.
Ginger969 is my Instagram.
Yeah.
All my moto following stuff is really cool, so that's been fun. I met people from all over the world over the last few years. Got, like, a good little following there, so that's fun.
Yeah, because you have, what, like, 12,000, 13,000?
Yeah, something like that.
Fuck, how do you do that? I can't get over like 1,200.
You gotta stop posting pictures of your cat and stuff, you know?
I don't even know if you have a cat. I have a German Shepherd. Thank you very much.
All right, there you go.
Ass.
That's a good start.
He's so cute, dude. He's just like Jacob a big Chin. Baby.
I love German
But like
Shepherds.
with my business on Instagram, I don't know how to grow my following.
You got to go to TikTok now. Instagram's already.
So my understanding with Instagram and the, because I've taken a couple courses to kind of understand that. I don't understand the algorithm, but the reels are what you're supposed to be doing.
I just posted one this morning.
Yeah, you just got to do them over and over and over.
So like my brother, I got a good in with social media. And Kendall is my, she works full time for me for marketing for the company also, which is why my social game has like gone way better, if you haven't noticed. Maybe haven't, but it's
no. I just started following you again because I deleted my personal one. I work one. You know,
yeah, I saw your work one.
It's a love hate thing with social media, but whatever.
But my brother, he used to work for Red Bull for like 5 years, so he ran a lot of the America's social media stuff. So he still does social media for big companies, but he's really in tune with what the algorithms and when they change. So he'll let me know like, hey, Instagram's prioritizing these posts now, so transition.
Well, fuck, send that to me. I want to know.
Get you on the mailer, right?
Yeah, shit. Seriously. My daughter has your name, damn it. I should have some sort of
priority.
I know.
You
Come
should
on.
Be number one.
Is that my
this.
In?
I told you, Shelby's fascinating.
But we get a lot of leads from that, actually. I was golfing last night, and a guy called me, and he's like, hey, Shelby, I saw your YouTube today, and we're ready to go. Like, I'm living in Temecula. I want to move to Idaho.
Yeah.
Help us out. And just like that.
Love it.
I get quite a bit of business that way, which I think is a unique identifier or differentiator between me and a lot of agents in the Valley.
Yeah.
A lot of people talk about real estate. I don't do like market updates because I'm like, you can go look that up. But if you want to see what it's like to live here,
a
real person from Silicon Valley, like I could go work in Silicon Valley in a heartbeat, but I choose to be here because
For sure.
of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I get clients from Instagram. I think
which is, that is, I mean, isn't that kind of the point is to
yeah,
get
it's great.
People that you don't know.
Do just, you do like staging and stuff too?
No, because I don't keep an inventory.
Yeah,
it's just
follow for follow.
No, I
What's
don't.
What's a follow for follow? Like,
like if you follow,
me?
Yeah.
I did that for the first like 500, I think.
I'm just trying to think. I mean, I don't know. You Shelby would know way better than I do. I'm just trying to do the reels. And
yeah,
like,
I'm trying to do the reels now, and then I feel super awkward. I did do one where I showed my face,
but people want to see your face.
Yeah,
I mean,
it.
I don't. Yeah,
that's the biggest hurdle. Like, you just gotta get over it.
Yeah, you do.
Don't want to show my face.
You have to.
It's so weird at first because you're like, man, I look funny or I sound funny or this or that, but no one else
is
thinking
I
that.
I just look like
yeah,
shit
now I'm like,
99%
I don't give a fuck.
Time.
Post it. Just send it.
Send it.
And most of the time, the people that complain the most or give you crap, I go to their pages or profiles on YouTube that are like flaming me and they don't have any content. I'm like, well, you don't have the balls to go and do what I do, so I don't really – I literally don't care about your opinion.
Yeah.
Even though I took time to go look it up. So I guess that's something.
Right. But you just.
I just
like,
wanted to see if you really looked like.
Right. Who are you? You got a blue asterisk.
That you act like.
Someone's giving me advice that doesn't have any advice to give.
Yeah,
got
so
it.
Funny.
Got it. I had one guy post something on one of my reels. And I'm like, so you waste your time. I don't even know who you are. I have like 900 followers. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Why are you wasting your time posting something negative on my space? And I go to his and I'm like, you have no picture. You have no posts. You don't think that's creepy?
It is so
That's
creepy.
Super creepy.
It's such a mental health sickness in society. I mean, it's just like depreciating
it's
yourself.
So weird.
And out of that insecurity comes the attack. like where, like you're saying, like solution mindset versus the other way, right? There's two approaches. Like I can go like rain on this guy's parade, or I can be like, hey, I can do that better. I'm going to go do it.
Yeah.
And I heard this guy said yesterday on a Bigger Pockets, right? Investment platform channel.
Yeah. I need to add that on to my podcast.
He's like, if something along those lines, he said, if information was the remedy for lack of health, wealth, or wellness, everybody would be healthy, wealthy, and well.
Oh, yeah.
But we have more information than we ever had, and people are still sick and poor and broken. So it's not a fact of you don't know what to do. It's a fact that you don't do it.
Right. And people get, like, what is it? Paralysis by analysis, where you just read so much stuff and you have so much to say, but you don't do anything.
And you're preparing for this event that may never take place because you never get outside the door.
Right.
Whereas, like, when I started real estate, I went and door knocked like 200 doors a day. Without any idea, I never sold a house, and I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
You learn real quick.
Well, I knocked on doors when I was like 18, and I was selling ADT.
Oh. Yeah, knives.
The ADT, like, what is it? The
security, security
thing? Yeah. Oh, my God. They dropped us off in, like, seriously, the ghetto.
Jump out of a van and, like, go.
It was like,
be safe out there.
There was like Modesto, and then there was,
oh my gosh.
Yes, and then there was a place next to it, and then there was a place next to, I don't know if it was like Lincoln something. I don't know, but I had never, it was the other way, but they dropped us off in like a van, all these young kids.
Okay,
and I was so sheltered growing up, and they dropped us off in the neighborhood that I only saw in movies. Where it's like everybody had bars on their windows and shit, and like the dogs outside with the big chains.
Hi.
And I'm like,
we got bars. We don't need ADT.
No.
I got a pit bull.
Bars, we're good.
You know, guys sitting on the front with their 40s and their wife beaters, and I'm just like, hi. Should I go up to the door? What do I do? I'm going to skip that house. That one seems a little shady. They've got crack pipes. Great. Is that a crack pipe?
They're like, get out of your way, girl.
Hey, that's
mad
hitting
respect.
The ground. It's legit.
Seriously.
Yeah, door knocking an eagle is a little different.
Yes. Just slight difference.
Hello, would you like some charcuterie, bro?
Yeah, exactly. Come on in. You want a glass of wine?
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice cooter board you got there.
Cooter board. Oh, gosh.
Oh, my
God. Okay, so you did the door knocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we built the business, and, you know, God's been real gracious with us, and we're aiming to do probably upwards of 40 to 50 million in a year this year, and
holy
over 100 million next year. So,
dang, Shelby,
hustling.
Yeah. So then
I may not
have
look
your
like
own?
It. See, I don't do the whole. I did suit and tie for 10 years. I'm good.
Yeah,
I don't
feel
look
the same
like
way.
I design houses, so you know.
I like it. It's good.
I mean, I look like I'm ready for apocalypse. Let's just be honest. I'm fucking ready for whatever happens.
We're due
I'm
for
ready.
One, okay? I'm down. Throw in the towel.
Like, let's go.
Super spice. Super spice.
So you are on TikTok, right?
Oh yeah.
All right.
She is on TikTok. I'm not. I just
trending.
There's so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Katie was asking me about rentals and like getting into having owning a rental. And I know my experience, but
so
you've
fun.
Got your own experience and you now have a bunch of them, right?
Well,
so
we own 5 properties in the Valley, and we're in process on a out of state one, our first out of state, which has been a work in progress, like about 8 months of evaluating, analyzing what we want to do and why and where, how much and all that stuff. So we should be getting into contract on that today or tomorrow, which will be pretty cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
But here's my question with that. And this is what I was asking Janessa in the car, like, how the hell did you get into it? So I know one of my biggest regrets is that, like, we took money out of some of the equity that we had in this house to do, like, the backyard and a pool and all that other stuff. And now I'm pissed that we didn't use that money to purchase a vacation property or like something up in Donnelly or something, that even though I'm a major germaphobe, that I would allow people to rent it when we weren't there, you know, to help pay for the mortgage and all of that. So if you don't have that option to take from your current home, or like, I wouldn't want to take out
money.
If you don't have money, is there still, we're not broke. We have money. But I don't like.
You mean like just a
lump sum,
in general, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's the best way to creatively do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's different ways you can do raising capital, right? You can use other people's money, but they're paying you for a service of being the expert in the deal, which means you've got to find the deal and you've got to be able to basically get the deal from beginning to end to close, right? And you've got to promise them.
You need to find somebody that has the money that'll do that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's plenty of people with money. Guarantee you. Like, I could raise probably like $15 million in 72 hours if the deal was right. Like, and I'm not even a big fish. Like, that's just local through
what
my proximity. These people, there's a lot of people with money for sure. You start, but.
Okay, if anybody gets kidnapped and there's a ransom, we're calling Shelby. 1,000%. I need you to raise.
They're investors. They're not
going to
pay
on
dollars. They're like,
they're like,
oh,
what's
I don't
the cap
give a
rate
shit about
on that?
The chick.
What's the cash on cash return? Oh, no, no, we're good.
Oh, yeah, I see nothing positive coming out of that.
So it's all about value, right? Whether the value is the capital raised to put down, which is, you know, your 20, I would recommend 25% minimum because the rates are better. So that's an aspect, but that's value, right? The money's valuable. Or you take your talent, and that's valuable that another person with money doesn't have the time to do. Like, if you found me a deal, I'd have no problem paying the 25% down. If you can assume that you're going to pay me maybe like an 8% return after you acquire the property, maybe update or renovate it, make it look nice.
Make it pretty.
And then refi, cash out, pay that, take that cash out. Say you cashed out 100K because you added value to the property. You pay me back my 25%, which say it's, you know, 25,000 bucks. Plus 8%, I walk away, you get the rest, the 75K or, you know, the 60, whatever, $7,000, and then you go and rinse and repeat. But you have to add value, and that value is the hard work. That's why people don't do it. It's not rocket science, it's just, it's hard work.
Yeah.
And then once you get the first one, so like you said, how did I get started, right? Mm-hmm. My story is not glamorous or like, oh, True Grit. I had a house, my wife had a house, we got married. We bought a new house with the intention of living in it for 1 year, house hack, right? So 3 or 5% down instead of 20. So FHA and Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae require you to live in a house for 12 months minimum before transitioning to be applicable to another FHA or minimum loan purchase, right? Mm-hmm. So say your kids, right? I would advise your kids when they go to purchase a property, buy a triplex, a fourplex, live in one of the units, rent out the rest because you put 3.5% down. They create cash flow. 1 year later, they can rent out their room and go buy another house. And then they have that asset building their portfolio.
Oh, fuck. I told you he's smart.
That'll pay for your college fund tenfold. And then by the time, like us, we'll gift one of our rentals to Bennett, and that'll, he can do what he wants with it. He can either maintain cash flow, pull equity out, learn how to leverage the equity to continue growth. He can live in the property. He can do what he wants as long as we instruct him on what the options are so that he knows his choices is going to be his consequence, right?
Yeah.
So we had two properties. We bought a third one in Movado, knowing it was going to be a short term. It was small. It was uncomfortable in contrast to what we came from. For the year, but we were getting married and we're like, screw it, who cares, right? We're both in transition, let's do this, we don't have a kid yet. And then that house has already almost tripled in value in 2 years.
Nuts.
And my rents on that are like getting close to $3,000 a month, which is just stupid when the mortgage is like, you know, $1,300. And so that one, while we were in that one about 6 months in, we ended up walking a lot in Sky Mesa, which is a sister development of Dry Creek. Not as cool, but
I like there. I really like Sky Mesa though. Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's just not in the foothills. I like foothills. But my wife's family's over there. We need babysitters. We like being close to the family to hang out and stuff. So we ended up building a property there. And then the next year, where things get wild in real estate, and I'll break this down briefly. But basically, in real estate, as a licensed real estate agent, my hours spent, as long as you spend 500 hours or more a year in participating in like preservation of rentals or working with properties or pursuing investments, you can write off depreciations on your assets, right? Against your income. So say you make $500,000 as an agent, right? If I have, it's like last year we bought a rental in Meridian, paid $330 for it, which was awesome. It was poorly marketed, probably valued at like $350 when we bought it. Rents out exceptionally well. Todd Campbell home from 2005. Parade home in a really cute neighborhood in Meridian that's like super hard to find. And so we bought that. And basically, as a real estate agent, I can take the $330,000 and roughly, don't quote me, talk to your CPA, I can depreciate 27 and a half years per tax code on year one of the rental, my wife's and my strategy for rentals is to buy and hold, so we don't plan on selling them. So we can go ahead and take the depreciation on $330,000 up to around 30 to 37% of that, right? So if we do, let me pull up my handy dandy calculator real quick for an example. Crazy. Times point, say 30%, that's $100,000, okay? So if I made $500,000, I can pay the government my taxes, you know, it's about 80 grand on a portion of whatever this is, or I can take 100,000 or 70,000, pay down payment on 330, and then write off 100,000 against my 500 grand. So now my taxable income is 400 grand. Now, if I buy three more houses, my taxable income is 100 grand. I don't pay the government much of anything.
Yeah.
I haven't paid more than probably 40,000 in taxes since I've started in real estate. But I've acquired,
sweet baby Jesus.
But we acquire a rental or a unit. So this year, my CPA says, hey, you need to spend between 600,000 and 900,000 on property assets so we can theoretically wash your income.
Yeah.
But you can only do that as a licensed agent if you're in production. So you have to be producing and you have to spend X amount of time.
Yeah.
So that's a major loophole or a benefit of being a licensed agent in the investment space. So you see these YouTubers like, oh, I bought 11 properties. Not everyone can do that effectively from a tax perspective because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So that's where the snowball comes in.
Wow.
So like this year we're going to buy, you know, the offer we're putting in Florida is around 475, and then I got to spend another, you know, $300,000 to $400,000 on ideally another fourplex or something. And then all of a sudden our door count, you know, we'll be at like 12 doors or so. And then next year should be double that. So,
holy shit. So crazy.
And each of those are passively at a glance. You can visualize however you want. Everyone has different investment tactics and strategies. So, and that's really, there's no rule. It's what you decide is good for you. I have people that will buy and invest on properties and say, I have a $220 a month Verizon phone bill. If I buy a house for, you know, $40,000 down in Tennessee and it rents out cash flow, $240 a month after all costs, it's a wash on this bill for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And they buy it. That's fine. And you have other people that are like, well, I need a 10% cash on cash return, or I need a 8% cap rate. You guys can look that up, like, to see what those, they're not complicated, but they're specific. And people have those rules. So everyone has different rules. 1% rule, 2% rule. Our rule of thumb right now moving forward is 10% cash on cash and or 8+ cap rate. So
I just want mailbox money.
What does that mean?
I just don't want to do anything and have money.
Well, those are turnkey, right? So
mailbox money.
Yeah.
You can buy a house. Say you don't want to buy an investment here. Take $25,000, go and explore markets in Tennessee or Oklahoma yeah. City. Great place. Low taxes. High growth, Indianapolis, Indiana. You can buy a house there for like $160,000 that rents out for like $900 to $1,200 a month. So you put 20.
Eric would love that because he played baseball in Indiana. That's when he did like the minors and stuff, and he still has like all of his buddies and.
So yeah.
What's the website that you gave
me?
Norada.
What is it called?
Norada.
Yeah.
Investments.
So, yeah, and they like list all the different states, and then it gives like the cap rate and like the average age of employment, and they take into consideration like all the socioeconomic things that you wouldn't think of.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest thing is taking action, right?
Yeah.
Like the investor advocates in the space, they always compare the guy. One of the biggest guys, Bigger Pockets, is probably the best podcast to listen to because they talk
downloading
about
it right now.
People like us or people like me that are just like no idea what they're doing, and they start making moves towards investments, right? And I'm still at the very beginning stages of my walk for sure. But like,
I don't know about if it's that much of a beginning.
Yeah,
shit, you got a whole thing going on.
Shelby's really humble, so
and he always
I just
compares it
flip houses.
Well, that's way hard. And that's not a good thing.
Say.
That's
know,
not a particularly
like
good one to
I,
do right now.
I would never right now, especially like, look, I'm still in the middle of my pool situation and it was supposed to be done like beginning of June.
Oh, man.
And it's been talk about a shit show. So I don't want to work with any contractors right now.
Like, I'm over it.
I am so, yes.
People
but,
are exhausting.
Yes.
Yeah. It's tiring.
And people just don't. I can't handle it when people
it's getting
are not
worse,
true to their
right?
word. Yeah.
I feel like in the last 5 years, it's gotten worse. Like,
yeah.
People say X, Y, Z, and they don't do anything.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wait.
And I don't think they care either that they're
yeah.
just two-faced either.
Well, and I don't want to get on the whole politics thing, but I think that we have, what is the word I'm...
Entitlement?
Yeah, yeah, entitlement and...
Generational wealth. Yes,
that also, I feel like, you know when you enable people with bad behavior, you just keep enabling the same behavior. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've done that, and we are just allowing shit to occur from the top down, and people model that behavior over and over and over.
And it starts in the house, right? The parents.
I was just going to say, it's because parents aren't giving consequences to their
I don't know.
We talked about this.
My dad was strict. He's a rebar guy. Like, I'm going to listen. And it's a healthy fear of respect out of your dad is.
I was raised in an Irish Catholic family. So, like, I remember seeing my brothers got the belt. If they laughed in church, oh, my God. It was just like, someone's going to die today.
I bet you they shake your hand and they look you in the eye. Yeah.
Yes, we do. Yeah. And I make sure that my children do that, too.
Very cool.
Yeah. It's just a different,
soft people. Come on,
you can't
wake up.
Snowflakes,
snowflakes. Get them out of here. I mean, I do want the snow, but not those ones. Not those ones.
We'll see what happens in the world. Maybe there'll be, you know, if we get to the end of the rope here, things will get real, and people have to stand up, and a lot of people won't stand.
Yeah,
I have a question.
Until the end, and I'm like, well, you can't, but you can't do that. Yeah. So, especially, I don't want to be involved in politics. I never wanted to. I find myself in that situation all the time now.
And you're exhausted.
Like when Biden was here, I was there in the mix.
That's good.
You know, yeah, but I want my kids to see too, if you don't agree with something, it's okay to speak up. Yes. It really is. You can speak your mind, be respectful. Like there were people out there that were, you know, I cuss, but I'm not going to be standing over there saying, fuck Joe. Yeah. I just, it's just trashy to me. Yeah. I don't feel like we need to behave that way. Even though everybody's angry and we've been very patient for a long time. I get it. I understand the frustration, but I also, I just want my kids to know, like, you can speak up. Because things are being presented a certain way, it doesn't mean you have to go with it. If it feels wrong, then say something.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Yeah. Right?
Shelby did the my Shelby. Oh.
I was like, what?
He's like, what did I do?
So she's my youngest. She's 13, and she wanted to do the walkout for the mask mandate thing.
Cool.
And so I told her, I was like, if you want to do that, let me know. I'll come pick you up. She wanted one of her friends that wanted to do it for me to pick up. We went to go get Dutch Bros. And she was like harassed at her school by her athletic director.
Wow.
Because if you miss a certain amount of time for school, then you cannot play, you know, in the games or whatever.
That's so pathetic.
It was just, it was a whole thing. She pulled her out of her class twice to talk to her about it. And which I did not know about that. So that was a whole thing. And then, you know, my husband got involved too. And it was just, I did not want her to feel like, because she's so, particular about being perfect all the time. She's a perfect
heavy weight
student
on herself. It's like my wife. She's the biggest critic for herself.
And so to feel like she's doing something wrong, to be made to feel like her having a voice and wanting to do something that she believes in was wrong, gave her so much like angst and anxiety, and I was so pissed off. And I had to constantly explain to her after that whole situation that, look, what happened to you was wrong, flat out wrong. What you did was right. If you are ever put into a situation like that, you call me right away 100%. And I will handle it. Nobody is going to make you feel that way ever again. For you standing up for yourself and for you feeling like you're going to make a statement and a respectful statement. You did nothing wrong. You didn't make a big fuss. You just left for a certain time period of the day.
For a purpose that you believe in.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, I don't know about that particular situation, but I'm assuming that in a lot of these scenarios, it's a double standard, because if the thing that you believed in was maybe something else,
like Black Lives Matter,
then everyone would be like, hoorah. But if you believe in something else and you do the exact same type of protest or stance, all of a sudden you're have consequence.
Nicki Minaj.
Oh, well, she is getting the shit beat out of her right now.
I don't watch My wife's the one with pop culture.
Yeah. I no, barely she even just, know who they- all she did was tweet something about just do your research on vaccinations and pray on it and make the right decision for yourself. Yeah.
She never
the
said
whole
don't
pharmaceutical
get-
industry is yeah. coming after Collapsed her. All her. CNN's coming
she
after
never
her. They
said,
shut
don't
her
get
Twitter
it.
Down.
Isn't that wild?
They yeah. locked her out. I'm like,
I don't
the
even
Taliban
want to go
can
to
be
the
on
ICU
Twitter
right now if I get COVID. I'm staying home. Yeah. Ivermectin, if I can say that. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, you yeah. can absolutely say that. Yeah.
I take my all my vitamins and yeah. bring it on. Yeah. I think I've had it once, my whole family for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we had it twice and it was just a headache for yeah. 3 days straight, which yeah. is an indicator. I've never gotten headaches, but that was the one time. And I'm pretty sure we got it the second time, me and Ange, my wife.
Yeah.
She got the headache like a day after mine went away. So I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
But that was it. And I'm yeah. like, well, we've been very conscientious about our health and fitness and like what we take in.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Yeah, we're on a schedule. Like, I don't know. You probably see my post where I have like my little rack of vitamins, maybe yeah. every night. So, yeah.
I think I may have had it twice too, yeah. and I've got an autoimmune, and I feel like
bring it.
Yeah, that's what I said too. I'm like,
survived.
Come at me right now, here, yeah. guys. Come yeah. at my. This whole thing is not functioning like it should. Clearly, so and I've had it too. I don't. And I was on my Peloton 5 days later. You just take care of yourself.
Yes,
yes there are absolutely circumstances, but the hospitals are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, bottom line right no. now. Anyways.
I agree.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So sure you guys have talked about that enough, so.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
We digress, which we always do anyways.
What's another good question for Shelby?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're cutting it close on time, but I wanted for you to get some questions for the rental properties.
Yeah, if you ever want to talk offline too, like.
Yeah.
I'm phone call away.
For yeah. sure.
Contacts.
I will say I really want to have a rental property in Donnelly.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be on the lake there. And I want to rent it out as much as I can and just block off certain dates that,
yeah.
you know, my family. It's something that I want to stay in my family that I can pass down to my children. And I'm big about tradition. And so I want that to be our vacation house to be a tradition that,
cool.
you know, I don't want it to be something that I just sell off, but I do want to make money off of it. And I want it to, I feel like.
Break even at least, right?
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
No, that's definitely doable.
So would you be able to rent something out though? Because you're so germaphobe.
You should have someone else do it for you. If you feel tendencies for that and have a professional cleaning service and Airbnb
sure.
operator come
yeah.
in and clean it out.
Yeah. yeah. Before I even remotely walk yeah. into that space because if I,
Well, let me give you an example. We just, this guy that was like at her house hanging out. He was a friend of a friend. We found out he was a swinger. He had this whole long story.
He's in the wrong neighborhood. He's supposed to be one over.
I know. Well, Katie's like, I could see the wheels turning. He's sitting in her pool. And I know she's thinking, you need to get that shit out of my pool. We're going to come shock the shit out of the pool. Cause I don't know. Cause she asked him like 30 times, yeah. have you been tested? Like, when's the last time you got
oh
tested?
My God. Literally, he's talking, literally, he's sitting there talking about like all of his sexual escapades.
Oh
and all I can think about is his dick's in my water right now.
It's not enough chlorine in the pool.
No,
to help
I kept
with this.
Asking. I'm like, so when were you tested last? You need to go to a doctor. When was the last time you were at a doctor? Is your dick okay? Like,
I mean, we'd be full on in a different conversation. And Katie's yes. like, no, but really, when was the last time you got tested?
You're like, you're at my house. I deserve yes. to know.
Then I'm like, Fake I gotta request. Get out of the water.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
He
so
subscribed to your podcast, right?
Yeah,
okay, totally.
Yeah, for sure. He's going to listen. And
like, oh, I get it. That's why she's asking.
He was such a nice guy, but I am such a germaphobe.
She did say, I
out.
Am a germaphobe.
Well, you yeah. got to be a nice guy to be a swinger, right? So
I guess so. Yeah,
really
that was
nice.
A whole
like really, really nice.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Anyways,
yeah.
We always go off track.
We do.
That's the best part. You guys have like an awesome chemistry, by the way. I've listened to a lot of podcasts and like the few episodes I've listened of yours as you guys started was like amazing.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. We don't really plan much either. Like
that's the best.
Never.
Yeah, we just come up with like what we want to talk
about.
Because it's more genuine, right? Like if you don't have all these things listed out and we haven't like prepped for it.
Yeah.
We never
prep. Hanging out.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, literally, people. I picked her up. She's doing her makeup. We're like, yeah. what
I
are we going
to
talk about today?
I'm going to put my damn lashes off and eyebrows.
And everyone's got a story, right? It's
yeah.
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
nice.
Well, for sure, I would love to
to chat.
A little conversation.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're very familiar with Donnelly. So we've done, I got one client who bought, he's bought 5 properties there in less than 7 months. So.
Holy.
Yeah.
Shitballs.
Yes.
All rentals.
Damn.
I just want, yeah, I want to build. But Shelby's really good too. Like, I always come in with these great ideas. Like, when we before we first bought our rental, it's like, oh, I want to buy land, blah, blah, blah. Shelby's like, that's great. He never says anything negative, but it's always like, okay, so these are just some things you need to consider. Mm-hmm. And then you boom, 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 you lay it out and you're like, oh,
the numbers, dang it.
Yeah. Fuck, that's numbers not a good idea.
Are you investing or are you buying emotionally? Which are fine. Both are fine, but they're different.
Right. Well, but you put them into perspective and like lay everything out.
Yeah.
And then it's not that exciting anymore. Yeah. So, yeah.
I sent a message to the girls the other day because we just found out. So we're in Dry Creek and we just found out that we had water under our house. And I'm like, fuck.
Common out there.
There's so many things that have happened recently. And I'm like, fuck it. I just want to sell this house. Like, there's so many things that...
You do? Let me know, because I got a lot of people looking for off-market out there.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I remember Debbie would be like, well, what's your number? Everybody has a number. And I'm like, well, fuck, how big could my
Debbie,
number
she
be?
She owns the neighborhood. She does. I'm like, come on, Debbie.
Just let me
share
in.
Keep talking to my people out there. Like, she's cool.
I love Debbie so much.
Oh, my gosh. She's yes. good. She's so, good. All right. Travis is giving us a signal, I think. Yeah. Yeah, he's like, okay, guys, stop talking, please.
Sorry.
Okay, so we're just going to have Shelby back on because I feel like I have more questions. We need to dive a little bit deeper.
I got more coffee, so I can talk for hours.
Yeah, I know.
Well, God, maybe we need to have the one where we drink. We haven't done a drinking one in a while. Yeah.
We can do Shelby part 2.
Are you?
Yeah, one beer and, like, you know, I'm not hitting on the fairway anymore, so...
Look,
okay,
I'm
so
a
coffee. I can't drink right now.
But a lightweight, if you know what I'm talking about.
I got to work on this whole inflammation internally. So.
Right? Yeah. MSM every morning. MSM lemon juice.
That
I have
sounds
so
sexual.
Many.
What's that?
It does. So, I have so many freaking supplements. I cannot.
Anti-inflammatory. Eat. I drink it every morning because I have issues with my, I've crashed a lot riding, so I have a lot of inflammation issues.
Gotcha.
MSM. Okay.
Not sexual.
No, not. It's like not.
I'm sure
what
it
is
could
it, BDM,
be.
BDSM.
What's
BDSM?
The sexual thing? It's
S&M.
S&M. That's S&M. What it is. I'm like, oh, you do that every morning.
Okay. Well, all right. You're a busy guy.
Well.
More babies to come.
Start your morning off right.
Okay,
right.
Guys.
We're wrapping it up.
If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, if you have any questions for Shelby, you guys, send us messages. Let us know.
Yes, and it's Shelby Padgett. He's got all kinds. He's on every platform.
Spell
right?
your last
Comment,
name.
Comment, like, subscribe.
Yes.
Padgett. P-A-G-E-T. Technically Padgett, but nobody's
Padgett.
Sure. My parents make fun of me if I go by Padgett, but I think it's cooler.
Padgett.
Shelby
Padgett.
Padgett.
Yeah.
I like it.
The French redhead.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
That's it. All right, time's up, people. Hope you enjoyed yourselves as much as we did.
Yeah, and come find us on social media, on Instagram, Say What Podcast 2021. Give us a follow. If you have questions or topics you want us to cover, you can slide that right into our DM.
Slide it in like butter, baby.
And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review.
Cheers.